Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you by God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for this morning is taken from the Old Testament lesson, Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has light shone. This is our text. You know, the wonderful things about hearing kids talk is that, well, you learn so much about true human nature from the little ones, about ankle height or maybe just a little bit taller. Because one, they have no filter. Two, they have no compunction. Three, for the most part, they have no shame. And so you actually see what's going on inside their heads, what's going on inside their hearts, because they haven't been told yet that in the world they have to hide what they're thinking and what they're feeling because it might get them into trouble. And so you see some of the wonderful things that happen. You get little things like a little girl crying, laying down on the couch, literally throwing a hissy fit on the couch, just bawling her eyes out. And her father comes up and says, "What's wrong?" And she goes, "If my fingers were markers, I would have ruined the couch." And he goes, "But your fingers aren't markers." And the little girl said, "I said if." Probably one of my favorite ones. Oh, another one is the kid that has a scraped knee, and they just realize that it hurts, and so they start crying because it hurts. And the mother comes up and he goes, "What, did you bump your knee?" And she goes, "No, it really hurt when I scraped it." And he goes, "You scraped it 2 days ago." And he goes, "Yeah, but I forgot to cry then." Or my favorite, and the one that started this all, because I happened to see it written down again this week, just this week, was the little kid that was going to bed, and the parents had already tucked him in and gone through all the rituals, had given him a drink of water, and make sure that his teddy bear was sitting next to him, had pulled up the covers, had tucked him in the precise way that the seven-year-old demanded that the covers be tucked in, had just gone out, turned off the light, and the kid just screamed. And the father had to go back in. He goes, "What's going on?" He goes, "It was dark." And he goes, "You have your nightlight right there." And he goes, "Yeah, but it was dark." And he pointed over into a corner. And he goes, "But you have your nightlight." And he goes, "But how do I know that's not going to come and get me?" You see, that shows what actually goes on in human minds. Now, when Isaiah was given these words from God, the word darkness is not just the absence of light. You know as well as I do what Isaiah meant, what God was talking about. The people living in darkness. The darkness was just the nice concrete way of talking about living in fear, living in ignorance, living in the inability to see what was going on, and eventually living in the shadow of death itself. You know that as well as I do. Because still to this day, even though we consider ourselves so enlightened, so educated, so sophisticated and everything else, the one thing that we need to have as a civilization are those. Whether we still use the electricity running through the tungsten filament in the vacuum that Thomas Edison came up with and found the right little chemical equations and everything else, just what kind of chemistry and electronics and all that to have to go on so that he could make a light bulb that would last a decent amount of time. Because even though the teachers told you that Thomas Edison invented the electric light, no, he didn't. Everybody knew about it before. He basically had hundreds of guys sitting there testing everything under the sun, all different kinds of ways to wire it up and to shove electricity through it, even coconut fiber coated with iron filings, until they found the chemical composition for the filament that could last a decent amount of time. Or whether it's now fluorescence or LEDs or what might be the new thing, we need the light. If you've gone through a hurricane or winter storm Uri or something else that knocks out the power grid, you realize what happens. Not just when the refrigerator stops working, or even if you have gas, the little electronic igniter on your heater stops and you're still in the cold. But just what it means to you and your neighbors when there are no lights. None inside the house, none outside the house, no street lights, no traffic lights. We're in the dark and all the connotations thereof. We are bereft. We are helpless. We need every little other thing that we can find, whether that's a little pin light flashlight so that we can even find our way in our own house to the bathroom in the middle of the night, or whether we have an electric little light that we carry around, or whether we bring out the big Coleman lantern and keep filling it up with kerosene, or you go old school and you've got the porcelain and glass hurricane lamps so that it can pierce the darkness. But even with those concrete examples of keeping the darkness at bay, the darkness doesn't go away. It's still there. It's just now we have that nice little puddle of light around us. We have that nice little cone of safety in seeing what can come after us. We're still left like that little boy in bed pointing to the corner and saying, "What if it comes and gets me?" Because that's what we're afraid of. Maybe not the darkness itself, but what can lurk in that darkness? What lives in that darkness? What not only thrives, but what enjoys the dark? And that comes to the second part of this, is the fact that I think we fear that darkness. We fear that lack of light because of the darkness we have inside. And that is true. It's not just the fact that, unlike a refrigerator, we don't have a little button over here to the side, or we don't have a door that we can open up and all of a sudden the light comes on and you see the heart pumping and the lungs inflating and the food moving through our digestive tract and everything else. No, there is darkness inside of us that has nothing to do with physical light. There are the things that we harbor inside of us that we do not let the world know of. Not just the fear of the darkness in the corner, not just remembering a pain that we had 2 days ago and needing to cry about it now. We have that darkness, that fear, that pain, but also that anger and that hatred, that ignorance, and even within us, that growing peace of death itself. Not just the death that's coming to get us all, but the death that we want to mete out to everyone and everything that wrongs us and hurts us and impedes us and stops us from doing the things that we wish we could do. Sort of like that old story that I think every kid was told. I know Mr. William Rawl used to love to tell it at St. John Lutheran School, especially when he heard some kid cussing something outside in the playground for one reason or another. He'd sit all the kids down in the third and the fourth grade yet again and tell them the story of the boy that said, "Damn it." And what happened one day when he woke up and God decided, okay, I'm going to listen to you. And the boy damned the bed because he stubbed his toe on it, and the bed was sent to hell. No longer in his room. And he cursed his dog for not coming, and Skipper was gone. And he went through the whole day like that until he came back and he happened to say it to his mother. And then he finally realized, it finally dawned upon him that what happens if God were to actually listen to the darkness in his heart and in his mind and actually did what he really wanted. Believe me, the first time you hear that and you're 8 or 9 years old, that scares the living daylights out of you. Especially when you're being told that by a man that's about 6 foot tall, completely bald, one giant muscle, like he was a giant knuckle himself with all of that authority behind him. Not just as your teacher, but as the principal of the school. That's why darkness is so scary. Because we know the power thereof. That's why we need the light. Whether it's a candle, whether it's a little oil lamp that barely spits out more than one single birthday candle in the middle of a hall, or whether it's a nice good hurricane lamp, or a 150-watt Edison bulb, or a fluorescent tube, or an LED, or whatever it is. We need those lights. Not only so we can see, but for the comfort thereof. It's no strangeness that the first thing God called into existence on that first day of creation was, let there be light. And that became the symbol of God himself. That first great gift and that continuing gift, that we have that physical light, not just the sun in the sky, not just what, well, I'm sorry, I don't know, is it Reliant still? HLNP, Houston Lighting and Power, they keep changing their names. That light that they give us or whatever it is. But to light, to give us that hope and that security and that peace in Jesus Christ. That's what we need. And that's what he gives us. The only problem is that light lets us know everything about us. We see ourselves. I do believe that one of the things that first caught me when I started, starting doing all this stuff and putting things on Facebook Live for the shut-ins and everything else is I realized yet again the same thing I learned when I was a teenager, and that is I do not like looking at myself. And it's not just a teenager's vanity. It's just the fact that my image of what I look like and how I project myself and how I move and everything else is in complete and total 180 degrees from what a camera will tell me I actually look like and actually move. I once thought I was a graceful kind of guy. No. In fact, Buster Keaton could learn pratfalls from me. And everything else. I forget all the time. No, it's over here on this side. I forget I have this mole on my nose. And one of these days, the doctor is actually going to tell me that she can take it off. She's so wary about that. But other things. And then when you get behind that, you have to have the light in your face so people can see you. And so everything is on display. All of the imperfections and the flaws, the blemishes, the Which side? Oh, this one. This mole right here that we keep looking at and making sure it doesn't grow and take over my head. And all of that. Light does do that. But then again, the light also lets us know of God's care and God's comfort and God's peace. Even if sometimes we want to crawl back in to the darkness so that we can hide. And we can hopefully, in some weird way, find peace in being unseen. But today, in this season, in this section of the church year known as Epiphany, we give God thanks for the light of His Son. The light that, yes, shows us our imperfections, but drives away the evil, drives away the pain, drives away even the threat and the curse of death itself. Because He's conquered it, destroyed it, taken it into Himself and completely and totally sapped it of all its strength. And so we no longer have to fear. The shadow in the corner is not going to come and get us. The growing evil of this world has no power over us. We know, we have seen the end of this world. Because this world ended with Christ's last word on the cross. When He yelled, "It is finished," so was death. And when He rose again, He showed us what that last day will be. Not condemnation and fear and dread for us, but eternal life and reunion with Him forever. And so, even if we turn off all the lights, we can't be in the darkness because He is the light. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.